Welcome to High Scores. This is a show all about video games and their music. I'm Mikaeus Linares.
I'm Jeremy Brewer.
I'm Jackson McGillivray.
And this is episode 97.
A jazz-themed episode.
The jazz-themed episode. Yeah, yes. That's right.
Yeah.
You might have noticed from our intro today.
Yeah, that we're switching it up.
I hope we can continue this for all the other themes that we think of.
I know. Yeah. I kind of like it. It's kind of fun.
Yeah, it was fun. Yeah. Adds a challenge to finding music.
Cool.
Yeah.
So, Mikaeus.
Yeah.
What are we starting off with this week?
We are starting off with Snowman from the game Earthbound. And this is a jazz cover by Insane in the Rain Music.
Nice.
Who you can find on YouTube.
It's very nice. Very soothing.
Thank you.
So what you just heard was Larry Reloaded from the game Leisure Suit Larry. And before that was the song Blissful from Da Blob. You guys play that?
Yes.
I did. It was one of the first Wii games that I got from, I think my brother got it from a friend for his birthday.
Really?
I'm pretty sure I rented it from Rogers or something. But I thought that game was so fun.
It always looks so strange to me, but I never actually tried.
Yeah, based on the cover, it looks like one of those weird third-party games that you'd find at your cousin's house, but you would never really buy it yourself and play it.
Yeah.
Yeah, something you play because it's there, but you...
Yeah.
It was basically Splatoon before Splatoon was Splatoon.
I was about to say, it's like Splatoon, yeah.
Except you don't have guns. You just, everywhere you step is paint.
You just hit things and paint them.
Mm.
And but there's lots of... From what I remember, I haven't played it in years, but from what I remember, there's a bunch of different maps, and then there's a main quest for each map with a couple side quests. Then, of course, there's a ton of collectibles as well if you want to 100% the game.
So then how do you beat it? What's the point of the game?
It's basically a platformer.
Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of a platformer, but it's also an open world-y type. Oh, sorry. It's really, I don't really remember how the story works. I remember the multiplayer modes more, though. There's a game where basically one person is the king. It's and only they can paint, and everybody else has to chase the king, and then they have to hit the king, and then they become the one that can paint, the one person who can paint. And so it's whoever paints the most. And then there's the other modes where it's everybody, you just have to get your color the most around the city. And it was really fun. I thought it was really
Sounds
good.
Like
it was
fun.
Good enough to get a sequel, so.
Yeah. I played the multiplayer.
You didn't, or you
no,
did?
No, I never did.
I liked it. I played it with...
That seems like a game that's pretty solely made for multiplayer, by the sounds of it.
It did have a story. It had these Nazis rid the world of color or something, so you got to paint it again with your buddies. And the cool thing, if I remember correctly, each color that you had... Like, if you were, yellow, painting things yellow, it was, a different instrument, for the music.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
I think this, the version that we just heard was when you're red. It's more of, a jazzy version. I can't remember correctly, but if my memory serves me right, that's what it was like.
Interesting.
Yeah, they do have a Steam port of this game that I think came out last year, and they have one for the sequel as well. And it does go on sale occasionally. I think the most I've seen it is half off. So if you played it and you're interested in playing it again,
check
it out on Steam.
There is the Lunar Sale coming up mid-February.
I saw that.
So it's a good time to pick up any games.
Yeah.
Like Da Blob.
Da Blob. A classic.
A classic.
Yeah. Should we talk about some news?
Sure.
There's some pretty big news, in my opinion.
Yeah. Who wants to start?
You can start.
Okay. Mine, nothing. I guess it's not really news. But it's more just reviews came out for Monster Hunter World. And I'm not overly surprised because they've always gotten good reviews. But this game is getting universal acclaim, over 90 on average, I think. Mm. And I played all the betas and I really enjoyed it. And I'm not surprised. But it makes me really happy to see that it's really getting its attention. Because it's now, I think, the seventh game with all the Ultimate releases and everything considered. Yeah. It's always been kind of a niche market. It's Japan specifically for a while, and then came here and it was still pretty niche on Nintendo consoles.
Yeah.
But now it's going to get a lot bigger, I'm sure, because it got really high scores and it's good.
I've just been hearing that this one is the most westernized
100%.
Version, but it still retains that Monster Hunter feel
100%.
And that JRPG kind of feel, you know.
It is the way you play is very different, but at the same time, it's definitely Monster Hunter when you play it.
And since this is the first... Correct me if I'm wrong, but this is the first one on a home console since the one on the Wii U, right? Since Monster Hunter.
I think
3.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And then the rest of them have
and
been...
And even that one was a remake, Monster Hunter 3
Ultimate.
Yeah,
it was for the 3DS originally, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I think...
And it's the first one for PC. Well, it's not out yet on PC, but it's coming to
it
PC.
It looks really pretty.
Yeah, it does.
It looked
really good on the PS4 even, so you can imagine on PC.
Yeah. It's just the different varieties of monsters just really intrigue mm-hmm. me. It just seems like a world I want to go into.
It's really cool. I've been actively avoiding all the monsters, all the leaks and stuff, except for the demo stuff, just because nothing like just seeing a crazy looking monster and being like, oh, wow.
Would you say the gameplay, because I've never played a Monster Hunter game, it looks very slow, similar to Dark Souls almost, But I don't think it has like the same level as...
It has like a weighty feel to it for sure, but it's not like tactical like Dark Souls is. Like you're not going to get hit and get absolutely destroyed, but like you are like slowly attacking because weight is a factor and stuff like that, right? So it is like slower, but it's not...
It's not as
precise,
I guess?
Precise, and it's not as punishing. As Dark Souls.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like not even close.
I don't know why, but I thought for some reason watching gameplay of this, it looked punishing to me, but I guess not.
Well, compared to Dark Souls, I don't think anything is very punishing.
True.
Like, except for a few like action, like RPG games, but
yeah.
Yeah,
cool.
Anyways, Mikaeus, what's your news?
Yeah, well, Destiny 2's not doing so well. And I guess I'm partially to blame because I haven't played that game in a few months. Not a few months, but like it's been a while. Although I can say fairly that when I did play it with friends, I had a lot of fun with it.
But was there anything specific that drove you away?
Not so much that. It's just that there was nothing that brought me back. Like, if I can give an example with PUBG, it's like the gameplay doesn't really change from one game to another. But it's all like the planning and strategy and like different experiences that you go through when you play that game that like make it so fun, make you want to play it again. With Destiny 2, there's just kind of set things you can do and repeat them for better loot, and then you use that better loot to go through those things again and get more loot quicker.
Yeah.
And literally like end game is just shaders to change your armor color. There is no end game.
I haven't played Destiny to the end game, and I never even got Destiny 2, but I like that is like a genre, like loot grind kind of style games. Yep. It is like a thing that people like, but apparently this is just not good at
either.
Yeah,
this one's...
Like this is just like Destiny eventually after all its expansions became really good. Mm-hmm. So I heard. I never got to the raids and stuff, but...
really got into the end game of the original Destiny.
Yeah, see, like, you're...
Like,
but
I got hooked on that.
I've heard that, like, well, like the article said, because I never mentioned directly, but the article mentioned that the big cause is microtransactions and a very lackluster sales on the first DLC pack, which I heard was they literally took things out of the original game and then repacked it into DLC and locked it out.
Pretty much.
So I'm sure that would be annoying if you play at the time and stuff like that.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I feel like to attract players again... They need like a rehaul of.
They need
like
another Taken King.
Yeah,
exactly.
Or whatever it was called. Yeah. That
all one, the DLC problems that
you know
they're
what?
Having.
But
it's as like bummed as I am about this, I'm kind of glad that the community, like the gaming community, is backlashing against microtransactions like this because
I
feel like it's incentivizing bigger publishers to steer away from it because it shows that they can take a hit. You know what I mean?
100%.
Just like Battlefront 2.
What's also reassuring, well, I'm not happy about it, but what's also nice is that like people are willing to like, even though Bungie is a company that has so much name recognition, but people are so willing to like attack them even after like they're so well known that like so Destiny I think was like the top selling like initial IP launch ever because it was Bungie.
Yeah.
And now people are still willing to like fight them back and I'll be like, well, it's Bungie, they'll fix it. You know, that kind of like mentality, which I hear like a lot in certain kind of things.
Yeah. What pisses me off is like I know it's not the game developers that want to throw in the microtransactions. It's like the
publishers.
Yeah, the publisher that say like your game must continue to make like this amount of revenue off of microtransactions.
I've always wondered, and I've never looked too deep in, but Activision, who is partnered with Bungie now, is owns Blizzard. But Blizzard, I would say, other than loot boxes, is a very well like, no, I don't say well rounded, but very like they are very smart with their microtransactions compared to like any other company. They give free expansions to so many games, and then they cleverly put it only to cosmetics, which. I will admit that I care about cosmetics. Like, I do care about cosmetics, but like I'm not going to complain because it's cosmetics.
It's not game breaking.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. So it's like it's just interesting to see that with a company that is literally owned, but a company that's partnered, they so severely botched it.
Yeah, that's I agree. Really. No, I think Blizzard's model works, and I think it keeps me coming back because 100%. Every time I get a loot box, I get really excited and stuff, and I can spend more money on it, but like I don't have to. I'm not forced to. It doesn't change the game.
Exactly.
It gives me incentive to keep playing that. Like, that's the only, I think that's one, sorry, I'm just rambling here, but the core gameplay is still so fun in Overwatch, but I think the main reason I keep coming back, like I keep getting that incentive to come back, is because the new skins come out and I'm like, I want those.
100%. So. I come back, I always like kind of like with school especially, I wane off of it a little bit, but I will always come back for events. I always try to squeeze in my arcade, my three games, or whatever you need to do to get a box. I always try to squeeze those in, try to get as many of the... And it's like, why? I don't know why I keep on coming back for them, but I do know, because I don't know. I like collecting.
But anyway.
Anyways, Jackson, what's your news?
I am really excited about this news. So Xbox Game Pass was a... it still is. It's not a streaming service. It is a streaming service, similar to Netflix, but for games.
Well, it's...
You can download the games.
Yeah, I was about to say, it's essentially just like a subscription service, like EA Access, which is long known. Just you're able to pay a monthly fee and you get access to a library of games.
Yeah.
And you can download them, play them, and sorry, I'll let you continue, but that's what it is.
Yeah, so before they had, I think they had over 100 games on Xbox Game Pass. Yep. Including like Halo 5 and stuff.
Yeah, I saw that.
And I think the price was you pay $120 for a year. So that's the price of two games, that's a little less than two games, right? Because a game's like $80 here.
Well, yeah, but I guess in America.
I guess that's right? US, yeah.
And even then, you can get, I think it's $100 for a year now.
Yeah, so.
So if you prepay a year.
But the big thing here is that Microsoft recently announced that from now on, all first-party Microsoft Xbox games are going to be on Game Pass day one of their release. So
that sold me.
That is sure. That's starting with Sea of Thieves, State of Decay 2, and Crackdown 3. And just thinking about like that is
worth it.
That is so worth it. That is that's so crazy because like,
I was gonna pay $80 for Sea of Thieves.
Right?
Why not just pay an extra $20 and get a bunch of extra games?
Exactly.
Like you said, they already have Halo 5, Guardians, which I beat recently. Good game. And Gears of War 4, which I also is a super good. They have those two games, which are very popular, and they have a lot of other, I wouldn't say as well known. I think like, Forza is not on there, for example, yet.
Not yet, but or it might be.
No, it's not.
No, it's not. Okay,
I checked recently.
But I mean, it's going. It's got to come soon. You know, like they're going to add it eventually. But I just think that this model is the way to go.
It's the future
because I don't know. It's how can Sony not follow suit with this? Like right now they have the PlayStation Now, but I'm pretty sure that's only streaming.
It is,
which is kind of
and it's weird because sometimes I personally never subscribe to it, but apparently sometimes if a lot of people are trying to play, you have to wait in a queue to play your game.
Ooh, what?
Which is really strange. Yeah, to think about.
Very weird.
One nice thing though is obviously you can stream it on anything then.
Yeah.
Right? Like, all you need is a PS4 controller, and if you have a Sony TV, then you're able to use PlayStation Now, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Right?
I agree.
But I think for the PlayStation 4 itself, you should be able to download the game. Mm-hmm. Especially if the they have PlayStation 4 games that you stream from them. I feel like it's weirdly inefficient because I feel like their network costs would outweigh the cost of just the one-time 40 gig download or whatever it would be.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah. And also with... Xbox Play Anywhere.
I was about to say, I was actually going to ask, does that include?
Yeah.
Then it's definitely worth it. Yeah.
Like, of course. Like, it's just a deal breaker to me. Like, I think that this is
a deal breaker is usually bad.
Right? Oh, a deal fixer.
Yeah. Like, it locked it in.
I just hope that the industry goes this way, this digital route, and goes to this streaming service where you can download stuff.
I also, but it's also a little worrying. Imagine, like, in contrast to something like there's news that Disney, for example, is going to launch its own streaming service. There's a CBS streaming service, all these Fox.
Like having to subscribe.
So imagine having to be like, oh, I got to subscribe to the Ubisoft package. Yeah, and now I got to go over and subscribe to like the EA. Like it's like nice to have it, but I hope it will eventually become like a universal thing.
One, yeah.
Like I would pay $20 a month for like a decent collection of like different publishers.
For sure.
Partnered. But I do like... The thing is, I have an Xbox just for Microsoft games, so that's why I will pay that.
Yeah.
But, like,
I mean,
I don't know. It's a little worrying to some extent because that is where, like, TV streaming and movie streaming is going, and that's not a good road, if you ask me.
Anyway, we're going a little long here, but I'm going to come back and I'm going to talk about my other piece of news during my sure. my pick instead of talking about my pick. But let's go into pick of the week. Mikaias?
Yeah.
You got a pick of the week?
I do. It's a surprise, surprise. It's a SimCity 3000.
It was coming. Jazz episode.
Yeah, you can't not have SimCity 3000 music in a jazz episode. I picked Southbridge because I don't know if we've played it before. I mean, we probably have, but we haven't played it recently. I looked through like the past like 20 episodes just to make sure. Oh, so you're one. Welcome. yeah, so this is just Southbridge from SimCity 3000.
Sweet.
Thank you.
So now normally I would pick a song, but honestly, I totally forgot. And I think Jackson did as well. So instead, we're going to use this bit to talk about something, a little bit of a tangent to what we were talking about before about the Game Pass, which is Sea of Thieves, which is coming out soon. Oh. I've been meaning to ask Jackson. I know you played the beta.
I played the closed beta.
Yes. I got invited to it, but I just was too busy.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I got invited to the early alpha.
Oh, nice.
But now they have the closed beta. So,
as a beta, how is it?
It's okay. So the gameplay is great. The technically, like,
technical aspect.
Yes. I had connection issues. Mateo and I tried to play together, and the first night we couldn't even get a game together.
That might just be network. Just
it was network issues, in, but right? They've had a lot of people not being able to connect to the server.
Oh, really?
The very first night, a lot of people couldn't get on, and apparently it was if you pre-ordered the game from anywhere else, because you had to pre-order the game to get access to the closed beta.
Mm-hmm.
If you pre-ordered from anywhere else except for the Microsoft Store, you were able to get in. But for some reason, if you pre-ordered on the Microsoft Store, ironically, you couldn't get into the game.
That's pretty funny, actually.
But I got in the next day. It's so fun, in my opinion.
Yeah?
Like, this is just the bare bones of the game. And apparently, a lot of people were saying that this beta is a lot, like, the alpha, the previous alpha that people played has more content than the beta right now. So, this is very, very, like, bare bones. This is Sea of Thieves. But, oh my god, it's, like, my dream game. You know what I mean? Like, I've always wanted a game where, I think Star Trek is my good example, where everybody has a job, and the game only works if you all work together.
Right.
Well, yep. You know? So, if you don't know what Sea of Thieves is, it's basically like an open world pirate game. So you get a ship, you have a crew, and everybody on that crew is another person, and somebody's got to man the helm. And
so you like the actual role playing aspect of it?
I love it. I love the real time ship battles. I love like have you played Assassin's Creed Black Flag?
Yes.
So did you like the pirate battles?
That was by far the best part.
Yeah, that's literally this except. Like, you really feel like you're in it. You feel the panic when somebody shoots your ship with cannonballs, and then your hull under, like, you have to go down, like, two floors, and your hull start filling up with water, and you got to patch up those holes. Then you got to bail out your ship while your buddies are manning the sails and, like, turning it to keep up with the wind and stuff, and you got
to,
like...
So, I wanted to ask, because you were mentioning a story earlier.
Yeah.
But I wanted to ask here, when you die, is there, like, a high amount of loss?
So, not really. That's the only thing. So
when I would add a huge aspect to the role playing if you ask me.
When you die, you get sent to this ghost ship. So you're basically in like limbo, and you have to wait like a minute or something. So that actually can make or break your crew losing or winning a battle because you need everybody on your crew. But then you just spawn back on your ship in like a minute. Like you sit on the ship and you have to wait. And then a door opens up after a minute, and you can go through. But you run into everybody else that's dead on this ghost ship, so you can see other people and talk with them. And, like, there was a... We were doing a battle with another crew, and I ran into... Like, I died, and I ran into a guy that we killed on the other ship, and we just started talking and just being like... He's like, hey, man. Like, I don't want to fight. Let's just chill. And I was like, okay, cool. So then I went back up, and we stopped fighting. But it was really weird. He's like, hey, are you like, on that ship? Because you can run into anybody. Like, anybody that's in the game that has died, you'll be on that in that ghost ship. But it really does affect whether you can win or lose a battle if you die. So it's not like you lose gold or items or anything, but...
I think it might be, like, just, like, a little bit too far on a technical aspect than is possible right now. But I think what would be cool is, like, if your ship sinks, it's, like, permanently, like, the treasure down there is, like, it's, like, a literal sunken ship.
Oh.
And somebody else could go and dive down there.
Yeah.
Or something. I don't know if they're swimming in the game or anything.
Yes.
Oh, there is. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Oh, man. That's the cool thing. So that's another really cool thing is if you're just sailing and you see some seagulls flying over, it means there's something
underwater.
In the water. So either sometimes there's just barrels floating in the water and you can get items, like just grab supplies like wooden boards or more cannonballs or because you don't have unlimited cannonballs or like food or anything. You actually have to like
that's pretty cool.
Keep that up. Mm-hmm. And you have to store it on your ship. And
so is there like a stamina? You said food.
Food, you have health. You have is health. Like what I love about it is your HUD is so minimal. You don't have like a mini map or anything. So when you go to find treasure on islands, you actually have to look at your physical map and like figure out where you are in relation to the map, like on the island, and then you have to figure out where this X is. You don't just get to like look at a big map.
You get a compass and a sextant.
You do have a compass, actually. Mm. Yeah, so you use your compass, you actually use a lot. But what I was saying about the sunken ships is if you see seagulls, you can jump in the water, and sometimes there's a sunken ship under there, and you actually have to swim into the ship, and you can find treasure chests and stuff. Nice. That feels really cool because you get attacked by sharks and stuff, and like that's really fun. Yeah, when you sink someone else's ship, their treasure chests float to the top, so you want to sink their ships. Or you can just literally jump on their ship, kill them all while you're going, and take their treasure chests, jump back off. And I don't know. It lets you handle things how you want. And I think just the player interactions are really fun. Like PUBG, right? Like it's, you kind of create your own adventure. Mm-hmm. And
so it's like, it's a rare, not many of them, but it's just like, it sounds like just like an MMO RPG that's first person.
Kind of. Yeah, I don't know how the full game's going to be. Like, I don't know if there's going to be a story or anything, or if it's just going to be kind of this repetitive gameplay, which is fun. I don't know how long I could keep playing it for. You know, like, I don't know how many times I could jump back in and then have, like, a different adventure, but they're going to have, like, customizable ships and stuff, so hopefully you, like, lose it for good, and then it'll might have more of an impact, you know?
It sounds like one of those games that, like, it make or breaks almost purely on, like, if you have friends.
Yes. You need friends for this. Yeah. But you know what? I did play with other people, and it was just as fun. Like, if people are talking, then it's fun.
See, that I was about to say is that I feel like anybody who joined the private beta are people who are interested in and would want to, like, be like you, like, role-play and stuff like that. But when the game comes out, you're going to get a lot of people who, like, don't care. Even like,
you don't even have to role play. It's just like,
well, even just like, you need to be able to communicate. Like, can you text talk?
Yeah, there's like little commands that you can do. It's kind of like Rocket League.
I'm just like thinking of like Overwatch or PUBG when you're in a squad with somebody.
You need to talk.
And like, you're trying to talk to them and there's no response. And it's like, well,
I can see what you're saying. I totally agree with you.
Right? Like, it's just like, I feel like during the betas, which I never played, I don't think the ones for PUBG and Overwatch I never played, but I feel like during that, there's probably everybody's talking because everybody's excited to play the game. But I don't know, I guess we'll see, right?
But yeah, going back to technical difficulties like and network issues, it's people are freaking out because they want to play, but in reality it's a beta. Like, this is what this is for, you know?
Yeah.
And I hope that the game is really polished and good. The water, I gotta say, is probably some of the best, like the best water I've ever seen in a game. It's so gorgeous.
A game that's so focused on water, I hope, and like, that has some
the rocking physics of the ship, it's so cool. Yeah. It's phenomenal.
I feel like they really need to add VR to that.
VR? Oh my god. That would make me seasick, literally.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's play a song. I think we're going to play
a song from Mario Kart 8.
Yeah, I was literally going to say some Mario Kart 8.
It's totally related to Sea of Thieves.
Yeah. So we're going to play the end credits in Mario Kart 8. The
We'll be right back.
So that's all the time we have for this week's episode. Again, we'll end with some recommendations. Jackson, what do you got?
My recommendation is a podcast called The Daily from the New York Times. It's hosted by Michael Barbaro. Ooh. And basically, it's just it's like 25 minutes, half an hour, and it's just daily news. Like it's different every day. It's awesome. I listen to it on the bus every morning and just kind of get a little...
What news company does that again?
It's New York Times.
Oh, okay.
So it's...
I've listened to that exact one.
It's a lot of
it's nice.
Left-wing stuff, but it's good. It's like...
I mean, yeah. I mean, you're definitely getting the New York Times style writing, but...
Yeah, but sometimes it's pretty interesting. Like a couple days ago, they had one about Tanya Harding, the figure skater. There was like a lot of controversy about her before. And there's a movie that recently came out called I, Tanya.
Yeah.
It was pretty interesting. It's cool. They just interviewed her, got her side of things, and
she's crazy, man.
Yeah. But yeah, you should give that a listen. It's cool. Cool to start your day off with The Daily.
Nice.
The Daily.
Okay.
So there's a YouTube channel that I think we recommended quite a while ago, called the 8-bit, it was called 8-bit Music Theory, and one of the episodes that he did recently was about the music of Disaster Piece. So he goes in depth about that. And talks about how his music kind of follows this modal jazz theme that was super popular back in the 60s, I think. And so I got listening to Disaster Piece. And actually, he came out with a new album recently called Disasters for Piano, where he and another guy basically just transcribed a bunch of his music and wrote it for piano, like some... I guess some of the tracks are like simpler and easier to play for normal people. But yeah, it's just all of Disaster Piece's music, not all of it, but a lot of it just for piano instead. So that's what I recommend. Disasters for Piano.
Cool.
Great.
Jogan, what's yours?
mine is a 2-part one, I guess. My first one, it just for some reason you mentioning podcasts reminded me. I recently found a pretty cool podcast by the Film Directors Guild of America, and it is directors interviewing other directors about their films. So it's like Steven Spielberg, like
really,
like interviewing another director, or like Patty Jenkins, I think that's her name.
Yep.
Did Wonder Woman. Mm-hmm. She's getting interviewed, and like all these different directors are getting interviewed by other directors. So it's kind of interesting to hear
that's
a director
cool.
talk to another director. Yeah, it's really cool. But I also want to recommend the trilogy of albums that came out in 1 year by Brockhampton called Saturation. Super good. I've just been listening to it so much, and I need to throw that out there.
Sick.
Yeah. It's a rap, by the way. Hip-hop. But cool, yeah.
So if you guys have any music you want us to play, we only got a couple episodes left, so shoot that to us at highscores.umfm@gmail.com. Or you could message us on Facebook. Yeah.
Yeah.
Get us that stuff.
Yeah. we're going to end the show off with a song from Rhythm Thief called Phantom R's Theme.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mikaze, you picked this song,
right? I did pick it. I played it like once during our first 10 or 15 episodes, and I didn't remember what the game was, so I couldn't find it, and I really wanted to play it again because it's a good like kind of big band jazzy tune.
Cool. Can't wait to listen.
Yeah. Sweet. Awesome.
So we'll catch you next week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See ya.
Bye.